If you're here with us last week, we started Retold. Certainly glad that you are back. If you're just joining us, whether you're joining us for the first time or you just missed last week, we are certainly glad that you are here and to be able to hear this thing called Retold, that it is certainly the Christmas season. And we want to take some time and we want to just retell the Christmas story. And we want to get into what it must have been like for those early believers, those ones that were just hearing early on about the story of Jesus. You see that when we think about this story, it's the greatest story that's ever been told. It's the story of Jesus. It's the greatest account of what anything that has ever taken place, and it is the life of Jesus coming for us. And when you think about how that story was told over the early years, it wasn't because somebody was reading in their Bible and reading about these events that had taken place. In fact, decades, almost a century had passed from when Jesus was born before when we get to see that the gospel writers give the account of the birth of Jesus. And so in order for people to know about it, it just kept having to be retold and retold and retold and retold. And that's how we got to hear about and share that in those early days. And for us, we get to go back, we get to read the scripture, we get to read what has been written, but they didn't get to. And so we decided, well, let's take this approach of let's go back and let's look at this as if we didn't have our Bible and we were just retelling this from what others have told, what others have shared about this greatest story that has ever been told. And so that's going to be our approach. So we're not going to be reading a lot of scripture together today. In fact, we're only going to look at one passage at the end. But we're going to be covering a lot of scripture today with what we're going to be doing. And if you would like to be able to go and read that on your own or find out what those references are, then we're going to make that available to you. You can text this key word, Retold NT, and you need to put NT because it's going to deal with the New Testament, Retold NT to 555-888. And then you're not going to get all the text of all the scripture. You're just going to get the references of where you can look at and see, oh, that's where they were getting this from. That's where I can go back and I can read about this. You know, it was certainly a great week for us when we get to look back and think about how God just kind of said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to put some snow out there. And what's so great about that snow that we had this last week was Corey, who's leading up our kids' crazy Christmas party. He looked at that and he just said, you know what? God's just giving us some free advertising. He's just giving us some free advertising because we got 50,000 pounds of snow coming in and we're just going to be great. Well, we have our kids' crazy Christmas card party, KCCP, that we're going to be doing that next Sunday. And we actually achieved something this week. We achieved our maximum capacity. Because we said that we're cutting off registration at 1,000 kids. And we hit that this week. And so it is going to be a crazy party. And so some of you guys are in here right now going, I didn't register my kid. What do I do? Here's what's going to happen. We are going to allow for the first 200 walk-ups to get registered as well. But after that, we will be turning away some very sad kids because we will be at maximum capacity that we can do. And so we're going to keep it at a capacity that we believe that we're going to be able to manage. But that is what is going to take place. Well, let's get into Retold. We decided that we want to take more of just this living room kind of environment and imagine what this would be like. For this story to just be retold. You know, the story, it picks back up after 400 years of silence. That the last time that we have any understanding of God doing something and communicating to anybody, it had been a 400-year gap between the last thing we can find in our Old Testament before we see the activity that is in the New Testament. And that activity starts very early on when God sent an angel to communicate with a young woman, probably in her teens, named Mary. And an angel named Gabriel showed up to this woman. And what he said to her is he says, you have found favor with God. That when Gabriel showed up unannounced, unexpected. And as he shows up, the very first thing that he says to Mary is he says, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. And upon Mary hearing that, being startled by an angel coming and an angel speaking, and they can't even imagine, what is it about me? Why am I favored? Why is that? That Mary, she was confused. That when we think about Mary, that she was disturbed by what could this mean? It wasn't a scene that where we get to see a look on her face of excitement. Instead, it is a look of concern that she expresses to this angel. And this angel of the Lord, Gabriel, he goes on and he shares with Mary. He says, Mary, don't be afraid. And the reason that he had to tell that to her is because she was. She was afraid. Why are you here? What are you saying? Why are you singling me out? He says, don't be afraid. And then, the next thing he says to her, he says, you are going to conceive a child, and you are going to give birth to your firstborn son. And as he said this, Mary's hearing this, and she's hearing this with this sense of an urgency of this is getting ready to take place now. And Gabriel told her, and you're going to name him Jesus. And then he smiled and he said, for he is going to be great. You see, Gabriel had already known Jesus because Jesus was alive and in heaven. He left heaven to come to earth, to humble himself and to come as the God-man for our behalf. And so he already knows. And he tells Mary, and he will be great. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High God. That is who he is. That is who he's going to be. That is how he is going to be recognized. Oh, and the Lord is going to give him the kingdom of his ancestor, King David. He's going to give him his throne. And your son, Jesus, he's going to reign over the nation of Israel forever. That his kingdom, it's never going to end. And as Mary hears all of this, Mary questions him and says, well, how can this be? How can these things that you're talking about be? How can he last forever? How can his kingdom last forever? Mary, who senses this urgency and this, it's getting ready to happen. It's happening now. And she's like going, how can this be? I'm not married. I'm betrothed, or we would say in our day that I'm engaged, but yet this betrothing was so much more significant, such a greater commitment than what we look at with an engagement today. That to be betrothed, the betrothal, it was to be that you had all of the commitment of being married. However, there was two things you weren't experiencing yet. You weren't sharing a marriage bed, and you weren't sharing a marriage home. That wouldn't come until the day of the wedding. But other than that, it was the complete commitment, the way that a marriage would be, that a wedding would bring. And she's going, I'm not married yet. And then she tells the angel, and I'm a virgin. So I just don't know how this can happen. And the angel Gabriel said to her, well, the Holy Spirit's gonna come upon you. And the power of the Most High, he's gonna overshadow you. And you are going to conceive this child. And he will be holy. Holy. This word holy, set apart. He will be set apart. There will be none like him. There will be no comparable. He will be holy. Mary, because he's going to be the Son of God. And he will be known as the Son of God. And then Gabriel said, and what's more, your relative Elizabeth, who everyone has thought to be beyond childbearing years, and she's old, and everybody thought that she was barren, but she's expecting. In fact, she's in her 6th month of pregnancy. Well, Mary, after the angel Gabriel left, Mary went and saw her cousin Elizabeth. And as she went and saw Elizabeth, as she walked in the room, Elizabeth's child within her kicked. And Elizabeth knew instantly that Mary was carrying this long-awaited child. And she looked at her and said, Mary, you are blessed among all women. Mary said to this angel, May everything that you've said about me, may it come true, because I am the Lord's servant. So Mary got to share with Elizabeth this incredible story and how all of this came about. And Elizabeth is just in awe over all of this. And then the next thing that Mary has to do is she has to tell Joseph. So she sits down with Joseph and she says, Joe, honey, I've got something to tell you, and you're not going to believe it. I mean, Joseph, you're not going to believe it. I really don't even know how to say, but there's a child in me. But I've stayed true to you. I'm still a virgin. And Joseph's like, you're right. I can't believe it. Joseph was such an honorable man that Joseph decided. He decided that he was going to divorce Mary quietly. And yes, I said divorce. Because see, in this culture, to be betrothed was to have all of that commitment of a marriage. That you just didn't experience the sharing of a bed and sharing of a home yet. In order for you to break off that betrothal, you had to go through the divorce process. And he had made up his mind that that's what he was going to do. And while he had made up his mind and he hadn't figured out how to tell her yet, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dream. And in that dream, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That the child that is within her, the child that she has conceived, that child has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's child. So don't be afraid. And you need to take her. You need to be there with her. And she is going to count on you and rely on you to help raise this child and raise him as if he were your own son. But the child with whom you are going to raise, he is the Lord's son, the son of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, you are to name him Jesus. You know, in that dream, as all of this is coming together, for Joseph to hear that you're going to name him Jesus, this name that literally means the Lord saves. That as Joseph heard this, it's like, well, that's a common name. Why is it that my son would be getting a common name? Why is it that God's son would be getting this common name? And the angel went on to tell Joseph, says, you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That was profound. That was weighty. That was significant. That the one that you are going to help raise, the child that Mary is carrying, he will save his people from their sins. He will have the authority and the ability to take away sins. And then he tells Joseph that this is the fulfillment of the Lord's message. That Jesus will be the fulfillment of all of the prophecies, the 350 plus prophecies that have been said and been shared and been said for centuries. As God kept leaving insight into understanding of how things would be and what was to come, Jesus is going to be the fulfillment of all of the Lord's prophecies. And Joseph, he woke up and he did just as the angel had instructed. That he was no longer afraid to take Mary as his wife. He was now no longer afraid of what the people might say, their whisperings and their murmurings. They're just betrothed, and look how pregnant she is. He was more concerned with what the angel had said than what any person might say to him. Well, they were in Nazareth. And in Nazareth is where they just thought that they were going to deliver their child. But instead, they ended up being forced to take a journey. That they had to take a journey that was going to be a difficult journey. In fact, if you even know about this part, you know that when they arrive, that there was no rooms available for them. But the reason that there wasn't any rooms available for them is because she was so close to giving birth that it was, let's wait this out and see if you can give birth before. You see, they didn't have control over having to take this journey. This is a journey that was dictated not just for them, but everybody was having to take a journey. And the reason they were having to take a journey is because the Roman Emperor Augustus, he had decreed that everybody needed to travel to their ancestral town, that everybody was going to have to go back there. And he wanted a census of knowing how many people were from what areas, and everybody just needed to travel back to their area so that this census could be taken. And so this 70-mile trek was something that they were trying to avoid until she had given birth. And because Joseph, because he was a descendant of King David, he was having to go back to the ancient town of David's home. He had to go to this little town of Bethlehem, David's home. And so in order to meet the deadline, they had to travel while Mary was still expecting, and yet she was just days away from delivery. And it was an incredible, memorable journey. And when they arrived, and they couldn't find a place to stay, as they kept knocking on the doors and trying to find anybody who might have hope, anybody that might have compassion on a woman who is pregnant and about to give birth, a woman who would need a place to go, a place that she could be in order to bring her child into the world. Nobody had any room for her. But there was this one gentleman that answered his door. And he had this compassion. And he said, I don't have any room inside for you. I just don't. But if you're willing to use my stable, you are more than welcome to go and use it. And that's what they did. It was their only option. And so they went into the stable. And this is where Mary brought this child into the world, was inside of this stable. And this is where Jesus was born. And when he was born, Mary took and wrapped him in strips of cloth, put him in these swaddling clothes and wrapped him tightly. You see, they believed that you needed to wrap your newborns very tightly to protect their organs. It wasn't just a warmth piece. It was about protecting their organs. And so she wrapped them tightly in these strips of cloth. And then she put him in a manger. You know, the manger, it's the first picture that we get of Jesus. The first picture we get of him is this picture of him in a manger. But don't let it be your last. Because there are more significant pictures of Jesus that we need to know and understand to know the person that he was and is for us. That Jesus, he was born that day. And while he was born, the only ones there to celebrate it were animals and Mary and Joseph. But this was the King of Kings. And God wouldn't have it that the only ones who would come and that would worship and would celebrate the King of Kings coming into the world would be animals. And so God sent an angel to some shepherds. And that angel said, the angel said, the Savior has been born today in Bethlehem. The angel said this to the shepherds, that he has been born today, the Savior has been born today in Bethlehem. But it wasn't just that simple of an announcement. You see, when the angels showed up, it was the night when Jesus was born. And shepherds were out and they were watching their flock. They were protecting their sheep. And this angel of the Lord, it showed up. And when it showed up, the radiance of the Lord's glory, it just shone out. And you could just see, it was like daylight in the middle of the night. And these shepherds were afraid. Just like Mary. They're afraid, oh, what is this? What's happening? What's... And that angel said to these shepherds, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I bring you great news. Maybe the angel even said it in a way that said, I bring you gospel. Because that's what the word gospel means. It means good news. I bring you good news. And this good news that is brought to you today is that the Lord has been born. And there is great joy to all of the world. Great joy to all of the people. This is the good news. And then the angel said to those shepherds, he said, the Savior, the Messiah, yes, the Lord has been born to you today. three different titles: the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born to you today. The Savior, the one who would save his people. The Messiah, this word, this Hebrew word that means this long-awaited one, this promised one, the expected one, the one that everybody knew there would be one who would fulfill this prophecy. And this angel is letting them know. The Messiah. In Greek, they say Christ. The Messiah has been born. Yes, he is the Lord. And then that angel tells those shepherds, and this is how you will know it's him. That there is going to be a sign and you're going to be able to know it's him, because you're going to go and you're going to get to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That you're going to go into the town and you're going to find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. And you're going to find him laying in a, and I think it was more of a wait for it. You're going to find him lying in a feeding trough. Because that's what a manger is. You're going to find him lying in a feeding trough. And that is how you will know that you are seeing the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. So those angels, that one angel was joined by this host, this vast of other angels, a vast host, and the armies of heaven all showed up. And they began to praise God. Glory to God in the highest heavens. And then they said this. They said, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. That the angels didn't say peace on earth to everybody. The angels said, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And the only way that we can please God is by believing in his one and only Son. That's it. And when that takes place, we please God. And he offers us peace that will last for all of eternity. The angels left. And the shepherds made this journey, and they traveled 6 miles to go see this child. And as they made this trek and made this journey and they arrived, they got to see exactly what the angel had said. And they saw this baby lying in a manger, the Messiah. And they knelt down and they worshiped him. They worshiped the Christ child. They left. And as they left, they told everybody their story. They told everybody about what had taken place. They told everybody about the angel who'd come and had shared everything with them, that the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord had come, that they would find him in a manger, in a trough. And they did, and they saw it. And as the people heard this, everyone who heard was astonished that the Savior had finally come. The Messiah had finally arrived. It was incredible. Well, we know that Joseph and Mary and Jesus, that they continued to stay for a little while there. And as they stayed for a little while there, there had been a star that had risen up out of the east at the time of Jesus' birth. And there were some astrologers that they were looking and they were going, hey, that star, that is different than any other star that we've ever seen. There is something about that star. And And these astrologers, these magi, what we call wise men, they ended up packing for a journey to go and follow this star, to find what they could see at that star. They were well studied, and they were looking at this and going, we think this star is the announcement of the Messiah coming. And they were convinced. And so they packed up some gifts. We don't know how many magi that there were, but we know how many gifts there were. There were three different gifts that they packed to bring. They packed gold to give to him this recognizing of his kingship, his royalty. They packed frankincense, this gift that was given to recognize his deity. And they packed myrrh and carried it and brought it. This ointment and spice that was used during a burial. These were the three gifts. And with those three gifts, we associate that and say the wise men, and we often think of three. So as they made their way into Jerusalem, they got to Jerusalem and they're telling others, they continue to follow the star. And they tell others that they're following the star, and the reason for following the star is that star showed up about the time of Jesus' birth, and that they were following that to be able to come and find this, the Savior of the world, the Messiah who had been born. And it was at a time that Herod the Great, King Herod, he was ruling. And during his rule, he was a ruthless king. And he didn't like anybody getting in his way. And he was threatened by the rumors of a king of kings being born. And so when he heard about this, he began to ask questions and bring advisors in. He wanted to find out more. And he was told that the prophecies had said that this child would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And then these wise men showed up and started asking these questions that Herod said, bring the wise men to me. I want to interview them. And so he does, and he questions them, trying to find out all that they know, because he's wanting to find out the location of where this child, King of Kings, could be found. And so he tells the wise men, go worship him. And once you find him, come back and report to me so that I can go and worship him too. But Herod had no intentions of worshiping him. Herod wanted to find him so that he could kill him, because he saw him as a threat. Well, these magi, they continued to follow the star. They left from there, and it brought them to this little town of Bethlehem. And that star hung over the place of Jesus, and they walked up, and they saw Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And they knew that they were seeing the Messiah. And they worshiped him, and they gave him these gifts that they had brought. As they were ready to leave, they were warned, don't go back the way that you came, because Herod is going to question you to find out where the child is, and then he's going to kill you. You need to go home another way. And then an angel appeared to Joseph and gave Joseph a warning. And that angel warned Joseph and said, Joseph, Jesus is at risk. That you need to get up. You need to flee. You need to head to Egypt. That go to Egypt and stay in Egypt until I come again and call you out of Egypt. So Joseph and Mary and Jesus they packed up and they fled. Now, by the time the wise men had gotten to Jesus, he wasn't that brand new newborn. That some time had passed, and we don't know exactly how much time, but we know that when Herod caught wind that the wise men weren't coming back, that he sent men into Bethlehem with this instruction: go in there and kill every male child 2 years of age and younger. Because he wanted to make sure on either end that he was going to be getting whatever child was this King of Kings. But because Joseph and Mary had been warned by an angel, they had left and they were safe. And the last card to clue us in on all of this activity that is taking place because of this Christ child coming into the world. It's a simple card: grace and truth. That Jesus, he came into the world full of grace and truth. That Jesus wasn't 50% grace and 50% truth. No. He was 100% grace and 100% truth. That Jesus came to fulfill all of the law. That the Old Testament, this old promise, this old way, that God had established this law that said, follow all of these laws. And if you follow all of these laws, then you can earn your way into a relationship with me, into a right standing. But none of us were capable of doing that. Nobody had ever been. But Jesus would come and he would live and fulfill all of the law, never breaking a single law, being a perfect one. And Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, to do away with the law. He came to do what the law required. And he brought grace. And he became a sacrifice. And through his sacrifice, that we can take the work of him, of what he did, and how he lived a perfect life, and his sacrifice, giving his lifeblood that he gave, can cover us symbolically to be able to cover our sins so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But it takes believing in him for that to take place. Grace and truth. I want to finish this retelling by turning to the very first book that was actually written in our New Testament. In our New Testament, it's not laid out in a chronological order. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, these aren't the first books that were written during the New Testament time. The very first book that was written is a book called Galatians. And it was written by a guy that didn't believe that Jesus was the King of Kings, didn't believe it when Jesus was on earth, and didn't believe it when Jesus was on the cross, and didn't believe it with those people that were talking about his resurrection. But after he had a supernatural encounter with the resurrected Christ, he became a believer and a champion for the cause of Christ. And although this doesn't cover so much the life and times of Christ like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do, those gospel books, it does cover something very significant about Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we see Paul sharing this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. so that we could become children of God. This is the most retold story of all time. And this story has always meant to be part of your story. That it was never meant to just be that story of Jesus. It was meant to be part of our story as we believe in Jesus. And so if you're somebody that you're hearing all of this and you're starting to see how this is making more sense in a way that you've just never been able to grasp and understand, I would love for you, when we dismiss, to be able to just stop by our Next Step booth and let them know, listen, that story was making sense, and I'm not sure what I should do with that. So what do I do next? Or if you want to come up here, we're going to have our care team come up after I dismiss, and they're going to be here to pray with anybody for any needs that they have. And maybe you can come and you can share with them, I need to know what to do with this story to make it my story. They would love to help you. Pray with me. Jesus, your story, it is the greatest story. And your story was always meant to be part of our story. So God, praise goes to you for everyone here who has turned that story into their story. And yet for anybody in here that story is not part of their story yet, God, I pray that your Spirit would just be at work, would be convicting, would be tugging, would be pulling, so that people would respond. And Jesus, they would make your story their story. It's in your name we pray. Amen.